The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the service of Sunday, February 4th, 2018, and is sponsored by Tim and Lori Thorpe.
Welcome to Holy Trinity on this beautiful Super Bowl Sunday. It's good to be in God's house together this morning. Big welcome to all of you, but a special welcome to any of you who might be guests or visitors with us today. I want to thank the Scouts for serving this morning, since it is Scout Sunday, so we'll see them throughout the service serving in various capacities, and we're grateful for their leadership today. Let's sing together. As we continue in our renewed theme, one way we are renewed is through confession and forgiveness. So let's join together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, and who gives breath to us all. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Join me, please. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own ways. Show us how we need your grace, forgiveness, and love. Turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live renewed as your children. Amen. Friends, even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. Hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's continue in prayer together. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated for our special music this morning.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble, to whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here ends the reading.
Please stand as you're able. This morning, our gospel reading comes from Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Here ends our gospel reading this morning. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today we continue our worship series. In fact, we're concluding our worship series today called Renewed. And today we read a story about Jesus healing those who were sick. And I just have to make a confession this morning as we begin, or maybe just a moment of honesty, that when it comes to the topic of healing, immediately my mind goes to my parents. My parents both work in the medical field, and I couldn't have more gratitude for their servant hearts to care for people and to care for their souls in the process. And in the same way, as we gather today, I think of all of you who are in those same roles in our community, caring for people and healing people each and every day. So I have to be honest and share that whenever I read a healing story in the Bible, I think of people who work in caregiving professions. And I do believe that health and faith are really closely aligned. But what I don't mean that if you have faith, you will be healthy. What I do mean is that if you're someone who works to bring health to other people, you are bringing God's presence here and now. I also have to say, though, today I studied psychology as an undergrad, and I'm not only an advocate for mental health, but I believe wholeheartedly in psychosomatic realities, meaning I believe that our psychological health has implications on our physical health and vice versa. So when it comes to the topic of healing, I don't think physical health and mental health are so clearly defined. So today we read a passage about Jesus healing people, particularly first Jesus healing one person. And while we read this scripture passage that was set about 2,000 years ago, and a lot of new discoveries in science and medicine have happened since then, I actually think 2,000 years ago, the people then had something profoundly right that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And that is that spiritual health, mental health, and physical health sometimes aren't as separate as they seem. So let's pull out our Bibles to Mark chapter 1. So we're going to turn to page 813 now. So just recall of the context of where we're at. We're actually in the same day as last week in the Bible. So last week, you may remember, if you were able to be in worship, that we heard about Jesus performing an exorcism. Kind of a challenging week. But Jesus was healing a man with an unclean spirit. And then the week before that, if you look at the headings, we heard about the story of Jesus calling the first disciples, and we talked about the first thing he did was rally a team. And I go back that far just to recall the four names that were in that story. When Jesus came along the Sea of Galilee, he called four fishermen to be his first disciples. And those four names, when you look back at verse 16, he called Simon and Andrew, and then later the other brothers, James and John. And those are the characters that are in our story today. These four fishermen. So after this exorcism happens, then James and John come to Jesus and say, Simon's mother-in-law is at home, sick in bed with a fever, and needs your help. And so Jesus hears their call, goes to Simon's mother-in-law, and heals her. But I want to read just two verses together this morning. And that is, I want you to read verse 30 and 31 with me. So let's read it aloud together, starting at verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Jesus literally lifts her up. The words are, he lifts her up. And I want to think about those words today, because on the surface, this is a story about Jesus physically healing Simon's mother-in-law. Yes. But on another level, Jesus takes a woman of wisdom and age who's been bound to her bed, isolated, and had a limited identity at home. She wasn't able to do the things that she was accustomed to doing that she felt were part of her identity to do. And Jesus not only restores her to physical health, but Jesus restores her back to her sense of identity, who she is. And so today, I want to just think about how Jesus came to simply lift people up. Lift people up. Jesus takes this woman, raises her to a renewed sense of life and a renewed sense of self. So what does this mean for us? Well, on this midwinter Sunday, when we hear this story, I believe God's desire for Simon's mother-in-law is God's desire for all of us. I believe God's desire is to lift all of us up. Maybe it's to be lifted up out of depression or anxiety or seasonal affective disorder. And maybe that happens through therapy and medication. Or maybe today it's God's desire to lift us up from our negative attitudes or negative self-talk. And maybe that happens by simply humbling ourselves and asking for some help in behavior modification. Or maybe today we need to be lifted up out of our sin, our shame, our guilt, or some blame we carry. And maybe that happens simply through confession and forgiveness. Or maybe it's to be lifted up out of addiction. Maybe that happens through AA here on Monday nights or Friday mornings. Or maybe it's to be lifted out of the burden of debt that you carry. And maybe that lifting up happens through financial peace on Tuesday nights. Whatever it is that you need lifting up from, I think Jesus is interested in doing that. I think Jesus is interested in healing physical symptoms, yes, but I think he's interested in more than just that. I think he wants all of us to be lifted up physically, mentally, communally. I think he's interested in lifting us up financially and spiritually. I think Jesus came to make us whole. Now, I admit today, if you're reading this and you're feeling pretty good about life, it can really easily come in one ear and go out the next. It can feel like we can do life on our own and things are going pretty good. But when we experience a mental breakdown or some suffering that's come our way or some grief or loss, then these words mean something to us. On this Super Bowl day, I'm brought back to about 15 years ago when the space shuttle Columbia recently faced a disaster. Does anybody remember that about 15 years ago? After that space shuttle disaster, when the shuttle was re-entering the Earth's boundaries and struggled to do so, and those aboard didn't make it, it was that Super Bowl following that Josh Groban was called upon to sing a song. I don't know if anybody remembers what he sang, but he sang a song that he's famous for singing, which is "You Raised Me Up." You heard him sing that song. It's pretty powerful, if you can imagine it. And that song, "You Raised Me Up," was really fitting that Super Bowl, as many recalled the tragedy of that space shuttle. And I'm particularly struck by that song because it was written by a gentleman who actually wrote it for his mother's funeral. It was written for his mother's funeral. Loveland is his name. And I have to believe that he wrote it for two reasons. One, the promise it gave of his mother's hope of being lifted up to eternal life in heaven. But I also have to believe he wrote it for himself as a word of hope that he too would be lifted up out of grief here on this earth. These simple words, "You raise me up," have been played over and over and over again. That song has been played countless times. You all shook your heads. You've heard it. And these simple words, "You raise me up," are all over the Gospel of Mark. And you know we're going to be focusing on the Gospel of Mark this year. We've told you that over and over again, and you're going to hear these words throughout the year. Because if you have your Bible open still, if you page to chapter 2, you'll see in chapter 2 that Jesus lifts up a man in chapter 2, a man who is paralyzed. And in chapter 3, if you keep paging along, you'll see that Jesus lifts up a man who has a withered hand for healing. And if you keep going to chapter 5, on page 816, you see in chapter 5, a man named Jairus comes to Jesus and says, "His little daughter is about to die." And Jesus says the words, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, rise up." And then in chapter 9, if we keep going, Jesus does the same thing with a little boy. You see, Jesus is all about lifting people up, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. That's his mission. But here's the other story. It's not just his mission, it's his story. Because if we go to the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. As Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome go to the tomb to anoint Jesus after he's died. He himself wasn't saved from death, but after he dies, we see they're alarmed that the stone has been rolled away, And just inside the tomb, they see a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the side who says these words. He says, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He's not here. He has been lifted up." And I think while today we hear the story of healing, we know we don't all experience full healing on this earth. But we do hold on to the promise that one day we, like Jesus, will all be lifted up and made whole. And we read these stories to remind us today that when we are down, when we're out, when we feel like we've lost hope or our identity, when we feel like we've lost our purpose in life, we have a God who says he cares. We have a God who time after time goes to lift people up when they're down. And as the body of Christ, sometimes that might be our job. As the body of Christ here on earth, it might be part of our job. We might have the privilege of making heaven come to earth. We might be a part of these stories of lifting people up in our life. Today, that is Jesus' mission, but it's also his story. He doesn't just help people be raised, he himself is raised. And today, that's our mission as the body of Christ on earth. We're here to raise people up. Raise people out where they need to be raised. But it's also ultimately our story that we hold on to. We hold on to the promise that one day we too will be lifted up and made whole. Amen. Let's join together now and pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you this day and keep you always in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. As you go today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Serve the Lord.